Hello, everyone, and welcome to Charm by Bravo, a Bravo podcast hosted by Catherine. That's me, and Yvette, that's her. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
How are things going with you?
Things are fine. The reason I was a little late, like later than I said, is because I had to make a bullshit tea.
What do you mean a bullshit tea?
Tea is bullshit.
Right, no, what? Stop talking. Are you telling me, right, it's just gone 10 o'clock where you are. Are you telling me you haven't had a coffee today yet?
I'm out of coffee is the problem, right? So I made my breakfast and I had breakfast with water and then I like to have a beverage with this. So I couldn't have my coffee because I'm out of coffee.
Oh my God.
So I had to make a tea. We don't have a tea kettle because I'm not tea people. I had to dig out some like old tea that I found. And then I had to use a pasta pot to boil water and make this stupid cup of tea. So I'd have a hot beverage.
Oh my God. You were so brave.
I know. I am a survivor and like, I can't even believe I haven't even told you this because we talked for like 5 minutes before this. I mean, we were talking about your problems, but I mean, my problem was really big that I don't have coffee.
Your problem is frankly bigger. I might have COVID, but you haven't had coffee. And to me, that's a bigger problem.
Right. And I had to have a tea, which like, I'm so sorry. I know we have tea drinkers listening, but like, what are y'all doing? It's like not a real beverage, but okay. I'm just making do. It is Earl Grey. So it looks like at least it's not. Oh no, is that bad? Oh my God, have I offended a British person?
I mean,
tea?
Well, yeah, because we do, like, I mean, we do drink Earl Grey, don't get me wrong, but it's like, you know, English tea, like Yorkshire tea or Tetley's or Lipton's or something like that. Earl Grey's like, I mean, if you want a massive hit of caffeine, you want something like green tea, right?
Oh, I thought green tea was the non-caffeine tea.
No, green tea, I believe, has. We're going to get loads of messages about this now. I believe green tea has a lot of caffeine in it. I drink green tea. I love it. It's very good for you, but it's got a lot of caffeine. Anyway.
I like the most caffeine, and clearly I know nothing about tea since like I had to use a pasta pot to boil my water for some ratty old tea that I found in the back of our pantry. But anyway, I hope everyone else is doing well today.
I hope you've all had a coffee today.
We are rays of sunshine.
Oh my God.
COVID and no coffee.
All the seas are rattling around here. So should we have a quick Bravo catch up before we get into season 8, episode 9 of Summer House? And I actually say Bravo, but the question I was going to ask you is, have you had a crack at Vanderpump Villa?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes, I have.
Are you enjoying?
No.
Oh, no. Really? I love it. I think it's great.
Okay. You know what it is? This is a personal problem.
Okay.
Okay. I love the south of France.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. I was a French teacher. I studied in the south of France in college. I lived in Aix-en-Provence. None of those people at all deserve to be doing any kind of hospitality in the south of France. It's me. I'm the one that has the problem here. Hello. I can't stand.
I agree with you entirely, by the way. I am enraged. That's one of the reasons why you enjoy it. They're all so shit at their jobs. Apart from the two bartenders, it seems. Everyone else is just, and I think the housekeeping staff. In fact, no, it's just Eric and the serving staff are all awful, aren't they?
That one bartender, like, no, the bar was, I only watched one episode. The bar was like empty for the first episode. They weren't good.
Oh, you need to keep watching. I find it enjoyable. I have yet again for 2 weeks running by Friday, still not watched Vanderpump Rules.
You have it.
I am. No, and I'll get back to it. I mean, I watched last week's episode. I will get back to it because now there is no Housewives for the first time in ages. Like for ages, Bravo had like two or three Housewives at once running. There is no Housewives until Jersey starts in May. And God knows what sort of state that's going to be in because loads of them wouldn't film together. And Potomac's just finished. And one of the major issues with that is that there were so many issues with filming and it wasn't a particularly good season. So they've done a clear out. Beverly Hills have done a clear out, so we're getting Jersey coming back in May, so there is a dearth of Housewives, so I'm going to get caught up on Vanderpump Rules and The Valley and Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. Right, so let's go on 2, Summer House, Season 8, Episode 9. I can't believe we're on Episode 9 already. There can only be about five episodes at the very most left to before we get to the reunion, which is going to be hectic, and you know it is. And I can see Carl and Lindsay in their confessionals building their cases that they're going to, like, rip through each other at the reunion. But it's called Close Encounters. So this is our second movie reference in a row. We had Point Break last week. We've got Close Encounters this week.
And because it's the alien party.
Yes, that's the reference, Yvette.
Okay, I just wanted to, like, mention the alien party because I didn't like it as a theme, and we'll talk about it later.
No, but it doesn't really matter, does it? I don't know why they theme these things out. Just, like, invite people around to get drunk. That's what you're doing. Why? It's because Kyle wants to dress up.
And Sierra, too. But the entire theme and all of the, like, outfits made me highly nervous. And I didn't like it. I just didn't like the vibes. I don't like outer space. Okay, so anyway, let's go on. in general. Do we want to talk about, like, the Paige, West, Sierra in the car? Do we want to talk about that?
Yeah, like, let's talk about them all getting in cars. And Sierra missed West, which is cute, and we knew about. And
yeah, we did.
Gabby and Danielle are in a car together, which, okay. That's a funny old pairing, isn't it? But Gabby's been away for a while, but she says the reason is because her parents have moved to Texas and she's been in Texas a lot. It's not. It's because Gabby is now a friend of, and she's only invited certain weekends.
You think so? Because she's like...
No, that's exactly what it is.
She's in the cast photo. Can they downgrade you to friend of, like, mid-season?
They do it all the time. They do all sorts of stuff, don't they? Like, they just, like, at one point, one of the ex-cast members, was it Alex? Is that what his name was? The one who was so forgettable that you had the Honda Civic of male attractiveness. That line, that he turned up to one party and apparently was, you kept seeing him in the background, but was completely cut out of it. And he was a part of the cast that season.
But actually, though, Gabby is, you know, maybe going to, we're skipping ahead, but she's maybe going to get a little storyline because they might fight over Balloon Boy.
Maybe. Man. I mean, I like Gabby, so I hope she comes.
Gabby.
But Gabby, as with everyone in some way, shape or form this season, is after some form of relationship. She wants a relationship. And she says that her dad wants to have a relationship and her sister's got a boyfriend, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, her dad sounds like weirdly involved in her relationship status. He's like, start asking men out. Like, oh my God, dad, calm down.
Yeah, well, she says she's been single for 6 years, doesn't she? So that's kind of, her father is concerned, I think was the implication. And then we've got Sierra West and Paige, and they're talking about their jobs, and Sierra has signed a contract and it's international, is what she says. What she says is she hopes to spend a few months at home and a few months away, which is interesting. And West is interviewing with Complex, and it's a quite long and humbling process, is what he says. Those are the car journeys.
Okay, the only other thing I need to mention from the car journey is Paige. When Paige, when they were celebrating Sierra's modeling contract, Paige did the following, and nobody's going to see what I'm doing, so I'm going to describe it. But I've not seen somebody do this since, like, 1993. Paige goes, Sierra got a modeling contract, whoop, whoop. And she does the, like, Arsenio Hall arm pump. Okay, yeah. If anybody is under the age of about 39 listening to this, you won't get it. But Arsenio Hall used to have that show where they would go, whoop, whoop, whoop. And they, like, pump their arm in a circle near their ear like this. It's like a modified fist pump, but it's more of a circular motion. And Paige did it. And I was like, oh my God, Paige, throwback.
I liked it as well, but... One thing I would say was interesting. They all arrive and we got Amanda and Kyle, and Kyle and Lindsay arriving. Nothing of their car journeys, which I thought was quite an interesting exclusion. So these four are either so, so boring that they couldn't be asked to even include anything, or they have started refusing to have cameras in the car with them.
I fully believe that they cannot get along in a car, in a vehicle. And the only thing I noticed about Carl's arrival is he was wearing excessively tighter than normal baby blue shorts. And
tighter than normal?
It was a certain camera angle of his behind, and I was like, what, whoa. Like they were ill-fitting, even for Carl. But Carl is very nice because he's carrying the girls' bags upstairs, like Andrea style. So
Well,
that's
yeah, he
fun.
comes in and he goes, "Does anyone need a bag carrying upstairs?" And everyone just goes, "Me." And Carl does it. Also, everyone, incredibly important update on West's nose. It has healed. Praise the Lord, everyone. It has healed.
I was tired of hearing about West's nose. I'm glad it's healed.
Me too.
He's so cute though, and he was wearing a shirt that said "I love Branson and Branson loves me," and that is the most Midwestern thing I've ever seen. So there's no way you would know about this, Catherine, because like you have to be there's like I guarantee people in California, New York, you probably don't know about Branson, Missouri. Branson, Missouri is like growing up in Kansas, that's like the lo most close by vacation spot, and it's like a country style resort where like you can make soap, but you can also ride on a roller coaster if you want, and like you can buy arts and crafts. Anyway, it's just a good old time. Branson, Missouri, so Silver Dollar City. So anyway, so Midwestern he is, and I love it because we don't see enough of our people on the television.
It seems to me that West is consistently repping the Midwest, because he always seems to have a t-shirt you adore. I
I
was
know the
admiring as
Boulevard.
well the Boulevard one, where there was a like previously on he was wearing it, and I was like, that really is a cool t-shirt.
We thought his whole personality was going to be mustache, but it's actually Midwest.
It's actually Midwest, which I like more. Mustached
Oh wait,
Midwest.
it's Midwest West.
I can't. We only just clicked onto that, Lord in heaven above. Right. Okay. So where else do we go? We've got Danielle and Lindsay together, and Lindsay is saying that no, things are really, really good with her and Carl, and that he went away to Ohio and she really liked the alone time because it gave her time to miss him.
No, it didn't. It gave her a break because she hates him. She just wants away from him. Okay. First of all, this season, Danielle is like, she's a total, what's the word? Like, pick me girl. Like, she's like, I hook up with guys all the time. All I do is hook up. I'm just hook up. I'm hooking up everywhere all the time.
It's a bit sad, isn't it?
It's so sad. And then she was like, she announces it. Remember that time she's like, I went to California and I had sex. It's like, oh, okay, nobody asked, but thanks.
I think that she is a bit of a pick me girl, and I think that I do think that probably as a human being she's struggling, right? And she sort of makes things her personality. So this year her personality is not having a relationship and having sex with people. Last year her personality is, but I am just worried about Carl and Lindsay. She like latches onto something in Winterhouse. Well, it was like, well, you're just being mean to me because we had sex and now you're not interested. Like she has like these things that she latches onto and then goes and goes and goes and goes. And I am so much so that I am not sure if she actually has a personality. Am I making sense?
No, she might not have one. And that you're like, that's bang on accurate. That's exactly what she does. And Paige kind of calls some of that out later. Like, oh, well, she needs someone in charge this summer. So,
Interesting.
but I'm just going to say, and I think I have this later in my notes, but I'm going to say it now in case we don't get there. How in the world does like somebody like Danielle keep getting a contract on a Bravo show, yet somebody like Olivia doesn't get asked back? Like, what the heck? Like, to
I
Southern
think
Charm.
it's right. So I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's who you attach yourself to. And I think it is. So I am still genuinely surprised Olivia doesn't have a contract for the new season of Southern Charm. But the thing is, Danielle attaches herself to, and you'll notice she's doing it this season, and then creates drama within people who will always come back, Paige being the example this episode. So last year it was Carl and Lindsay, and I don't know if it's a tactic of hers, but she gets involved in things, and then in the reunion, the shouting and screaming around her, and then of course she gets brought back. I do understand what you're saying though, is that there is very little of genuine interest about Danielle, and that's not a reflection of her as a person. I'm sure she's a lovely person, whatever, whatever. But in terms of a reality star to watch, it is surprising that she is still holding on in here. It was awful to watch her on Winter House. Like, I managed to struggle to the end of the season of Winter House, but it was mortifying to watch. Mortifying.
Yeah. See, I skipped it because I didn't have the people I liked, and I just heard she was cringe the whole time.
Sure, she was cringe. But she dares to say to Lindsay at the end of this scene, and this is where I started going, oh, Danielle, oh, really, girl. She says to Lindsay, oh, you know, just watching the couples in this house, yours included, your relationship included, it just makes me not want to have a relationship. And it's like,
Danielle,
who the hell do you think you are? We've watched you for years with that Robert guy. Sure, who do you think you are? To just go, oh yeah, Lindsay, this is yours and Carl's and Amanda's fault. No, Danielle, it's your fault for having poor relationships with people. And actually, she could have phrased this so much better. Rather than blaming, I mean, she's right, don't get me wrong. She says a couple of things that aren't entirely wrong this episode, but it's the way she frames things. Like, how about you had a really unsuccessful relationship with Robert and you need some time away from relationships? But no, it's Lindsay and Carl's fault.
Right, it's Lindsay and Carl's fault and Kyle and Amanda's fault. And does she forget how to interact with humans? It's just, you don't say that. I mean, because to some degree, Paige privately told Craig, well, privately with a camera so they can talk about it later, but she told him, you know, that watching all these relationships in the house like made her a little bit nervous about committing, but she didn't say it to the people, good Lord, because she has some common sense.
But also, well, Paige's and Craig's situation is very, very different. They're in a fairly successful relationship. Danielle has not got a relationship to speak of, and that again is not an insult. It's not like, well, you're not in a relationship, how do you know?
Exactly.
Look within, Danielle, as Paige will say later. Look within.
Oh my gosh. I know, Paige lays it down later. But good news, as we move along here, it does seem that that one Bravo therapy session has totally fixed Amanda and Kyle. Catherine's face right now is
Paige.
Oh
my God, ridiculous, ridiculous. A Bravo therapy session fixes everything. Who knew?
That therapist was good, though. She was so insightful. She was like, I sense that Kyle doesn't like it when Amanda's snippy. Is that right? She was amazing. And now their relationship is fixed. So that girl better be charging like $1 million per hour. Should we talk about when they go out to just a bar and everybody looks hot and Gabby's on the prowl?
Let's do it. Just a bar looks like they're all having a lot of fun.
Drinking a lot, as we see later. But
yes. They're just doing their thing. I mean, yeah.
They're partying and Paige calls out Sierra for loving Wes. She's like, she loves him. And then Sierra hears her. Wes is like trying to be a wingman a little bit for Gabby, which was cute. Oh, but let's talk about the convo outside the bar, shall we?
Let's do it. And actually, I wrote down a lot of this. Okay. Because I was like, interesting.
Kyle, Danielle, and Paige.
And I really want to say this. Yeah, I really want to preempt this conversation by saying, was Danielle there when Craig was there? Was she? I'm not even sure she was.
I mean, the fact that we can't remember if she was is another reason. Right. But yeah.
I'm going to quickly run through this conversation and then you're going to tell me what you think about it. Is that all right? Because I wrote down some of this stuff word for word, so we had the word in.
I love it. You're good at that. You just tell us what happened.
Let's go, everyone. Because this really is the crux of the episode.
It's Bravo story time with Catherine. Gather around in a circle. I'm crisscross applesauce in my chair for my story.
You used to have this thing in a story time thing in the UK where it'd say, okay, if you're sitting comfortably, then I shall begin. Paige, Danielle and Kyle are all stood around outside and Kyle is saying that the vibes have been really, really good and he'd just like to see Craig more. And Paige is like, oh, I love him. He's my best friend. I love being around him. And Kyle says, yeah, like I'm actually worried because there is some uncertainty there. Like he seemed more uncertain than I've seen him. And we get the flashback to him saying to Kyle, like, if I have to live without Paige, then so be it. Like my patience will run thin at one point. And he says to Paige, like, you're not stringing this along. And Paige says, no, I know I am going to marry him, but it is going to be on my own terms. Right. So I actually think this is a very similar thing to what Craig said. I know I am going to marry him, but it's going to be on my terms. And if that's not okay, then okay. And Danielle is like, oh, I feel like you have his balls on a fucking mantle. Something is holding you back and I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to be real with you. I think you're giving him nothing. You think this is a forever guy, or you're just this badass bitch doing your own thing and he's good for right now. Which one is it? And Paige is like, no, it's not like that. But I am not the hot hand-holding person who's going to reassure you. And Danielle says, well, I think he wants that. And Paige says to us, yeah, Danielle likes to stand on a moral high ground and tell us all what she thinks. But whenever it comes to turning the mirror around, it's like, where'd she go? Where'd she go? I've seen her do it to every girl I've lived with.
Wow.
Thoughts and feelings.
I mean, first feeling was just like rage, because who is she to say what Craig wants and needs? Because I'm sorry, I'm pretty sure that Paige is the one who's been his girlfriend for what, going on 3 years now. You don't know anything, Danielle. Just the audacity. I mean, they are in a successful, loving relationship from all accounts, from everything we see, everything they put out there. And to just judge, put it all on Paige, and to be like, you give him nothing. I mean, they're together all the time.
Sprinkled with a spot of misogyny, eh?
Right. Like, it was just so, I mean, rude, tone deaf, brazen.
To quote Katie Maloney, it's giving audacity.
I just wanted to be like, sit down, Danielle. Just sit down. Just go away.
Yeah.
You're not even nearly as close to this relationship as you were the Lindsay Carl one, as far as friendship-wise. And nobody liked what you did last summer, so just get out.
Danielle, right, first off, it's the blind leading the blind, as I've just mentioned earlier. It's not like you are the queen of relationships, first of all. And again, that's fine. You don't have to be amazing at relationships. Everyone learns. Everyone has unsuccessful relationships. That's fine. That's not a judgment on her. But also at the same time, you can't be Danielle effectively and try and tell people how to run relationships. Second of all, absolutely do not believe she knows anything about Craig and Paige. And can I tell you what I think's going on here? I think that Danielle is doing what I said earlier. I think she is hitching her ride to relevance via Paige and Craig, right? And I think she is parroting some of the criticisms of Paige and Craig online, is what I think she's doing.
Yep, you are bang on accurate. That's 100% right.
Paige says later in the episode that she saw what happened last year. So she's now, I would not take a crack at Paige DeSorbo. I would not. And Danielle's going to learn, I think, this season. Look at what Paige did to Carl and Lindsay in the reunion. Like, what's she going to do to Danielle?
Take her down, Paige. Take her down at the reunion. I can't wait.
Man,
because that was so uncalled for.
I also do think there was a sprinkle of misogyny. And I think that it's that idea that you can either have this relationship or you can be a badass and you can't be both. That was the insinuation. And no, like, Paige can absolutely do both. And I think that from what I can see, and again, we're not a part of that relationship. It's not the same as Amanda and Kyle, for instance, where we see a lot more, that they seem to understand each other quite well. And again, I think it's quite healthy that they both know what
exactly
they want. And if those two things can't fit together, then they can't.
And I think that's exactly what Craig was saying to Kyle in a very calm way. Like, his balls are not on a mantle. He said, like, I love this girl. I want to marry her. I'm not going to wait forever, and I'd be okay without her. This is what I want, but we're going to play it out. And as long as we're both happy, we're together.
Paige literally said, I am going to marry him.
Yeah.
I do think she might just come round, you know. I think she might just come round and go, yeah, actually, I can leave New York. I'll go to Charleston.
He has a really nice pool. Okay. All right. They go home. Gabby is so wrecked, she can't even sit down. everybody is lit, as the young people say. I don't even know if they still say that, but I say everybody was lit. And Kyle was so thrilled that Amanda stayed out late. And then we had to see his buns. Why do we always have to see Kyle's buns?
Oh, again with this.
Is he the only male in the house? Like, is that in his contract? Like, my buns must be shown at least 4 times per season. Nobody else is showing their buns, are they?
No, thank the Lord.
Stop it, Kyle. We don't need to see that. And then now is this when we start talking about Balloon Guy coming to visit? It's the next day, and like, did I miss
Yeah,
something?
it is. Can I just say, so we get to the next day, and I wrote at the beginning of this because it's a thing I've always thought about Summer House. How is it on Summer House, no one is ever so hungover they can't get out of bed and they're vomiting? Do you know how, like, we've all been like that, right? Listenership. That you get so drunk the night before that all you can do is just lie in bed for at least past midday, if not longer, and be sick the day after. This never seems to happen. And then Paige is like, I've never been this hungover.
But then isn't she like at breakfast? Everybody's at breakfast.
Yeah,
Everybody always
everyone's
needs
just fine.
breakfast.
Everyone's, it's crazy. I don't know, unless they just drink far less than they appear to.
They have to because like they're decorating for a party midday. Do you know the energy it takes to do a theme party and decorate for it? Ain't no way you could be as lit as those kids were the night before and be hanging up alien cardboard cutouts. Like you just couldn't.
Well,
Ugh,
listen,
okay.
I mean, they certainly are. So, yeah, we've got a guy who's going to be introduced to this episode. And this guy
A
is
poor man.
Balloon Guy Joe, this poor man.
Okay, he is like a piece of meat being thrown at the lion. The lion being Danielle.
I say poor Joe. I think he's enjoying himself, actually. I'm actually, now that I say it, I think he's enjoying this. I think he knows what he's let himself in for. And I think this.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah,
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
trying, I'm trying, I'm
Oh,
trying,
yeah?
I'm trying to get them on there.
Yeah.
Look, we all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like
Bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit
don't
right
play
now.
With this
I ain't gonna
shit.
Lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Bro,
I ain't gonna
don't
lie.
Play with it,
don't play with it.
No.
Take that shit serious.
Joe kind of loves it, but Danielle is so thirsty. She even admits to
Oh,
it. She
absolutely.
don't even care. She's just like, oh my God, a single man who might be hot named Joe and blows up balloons. Yay, yes. Shall we talk about this West? Talking to Paige and Amanda in the pool about when they need to be having sex by.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, maybe I'm ancient, but I think Wes needs to settle down. He's like, we've had 6 weekends and we have not slept together. That's like 12 days total. That's not that long.
Right, first off, have the conversation with Sierra. Like, have the conversation with Sierra. And also, like, why are you, like, it's a very bizarre thing in my head to count like that, to be like, right. And after this amount of time, we should be having sex. I don't think, like, talk to Sierra. Why are you behaving like a 17-year-old kid? Like, well, should I have sex with him? I've been out with him 5 times. Have sex with someone when you're comfortable with having sex with someone. Like, calm the fuck down, West, and stop talking to her friends about it because that's weird. Just saying.
It's weird. And it also, though, again, I'm ancient, but like, I remember when, okay, remember when we were younger and the question was always like, so do you kiss on the first date? And now the question is like, he asks Amanda, he's like, and Paige is like, so did you guys bang on the first date? And Amanda was like, no, I made them work for it. They had to at least take me on a second date. Oh,
Yeah,
Amanda.
I mean,
But
but again, but
yeah.
if that's how you want to play it, that's how you want to play it. There's no set rules. And like, I love West, and I know that there's probably something in here about him whipping up a bit of drama, but it is disrespectful
Yeah.
to Sierra to be going to her friends going like, well, shouldn't she? Because the I feel like the insinuation is, well, shouldn't we be having sex by now? Not if she doesn't want to, no.
No, like their opinion has zero impact on what Sierra does or doesn't want to do with you. So,
One of the things I will give West is that he's feeling a little bit inadequate because she always goes for guys older than him and he doesn't have a job. And I think maybe in a roundabout way, he's asking, is this why she's not sleeping with me? Again,
yes.
have a conversation with Sierra. And he says that like the longer you wait, the bigger deal it becomes. Well, because it is a big deal, Sierra. Have right, one more time. Have the conversation with Sierra.
Right. And you're right. He did say, is it because I'm unemployed? And is it because I'm so young? And I
effectively, you're not unemployed. You're on summer house.
Well, and here's the thing, though. At least he's a self-aware unemployed man. Like, he wants to be employed. He's looking for work. He used to have a pretty flashy job. He's not like just one of those dudes that's like, I'm holding out for management and like never works. Like, he's self-aware, but I guess I could see where if he thinks it's because he's unemployed, he's embarrassed to ask Sierra. I don't know, but yeah, you're right. Ask Sierra. And just calm down. It's only been like 12 days. Okay. So total, if you add them up. Okay. Now what do we want to talk about?
Just Carl and Lindsay, right? Carl again, trying to throw Lindsay under the bus, like pissed me right off this.
Oh, I knew this one.
Danielle and Carl are saying that again. Yeah, there's another conversation about how everyone's in a good place and Carl's really glad that Danielle's coming to the wedding and he really loves Danielle. And Danielle's like, yeah, like, I feel like last summer you didn't really let your hair down, but you seem to be having fun this summer. And then he starts talking about Kyle's offer with Loverboy, which is a generous offer and a nice offer. And maybe a bit of an olive branch, I don't know, after Kyle was a bit of a shift last season. And he says, like, he's thought about it and maybe he will do something. And Kyle has been low-key trying to get him back. And actually, the break has been good for Carl, which I can imagine it was, because it was like, it must have been a big drinky lifestyle going and doing all of those things and having loads of people around you drinking. Must have been difficult. Right, so Danielle says at this point, have you talked to Lindsay? Right, the woman you're marrying, Kyle made this offer a week or more ago, maybe even 2 weeks ago. Right, and he says no, he hasn't talked to the woman he is marrying and loves, Lindsay, about this decent opportunity. And he says to us, oh yeah, I'm so gun shy about talking to Lindsay about any opportunity. And I have to, because I really have to think about the questions that she might come back at me with. And like last summer, some Loverboy was a huge stress in our relationship. And, you know, making myself happy and getting her approval is a challenge for me. Okay, Carl. Okay. Sure. Lindsay, the big bad monster who you can't have any sort of conversation with, especially about job opportunities and great opportunities for you and her as a couple in terms of finances. But yes, you need Lindsay's approval. Lindsay is so controlling and awful. Yes. Okay. Sure.
That is what he's going for. And it's like, if you feel that way, why did you guys ever get engaged, dude? If you can't even bring up a job opportunity. Like, if you can't even get along through that conversation, you have no business being married, which we do.
No, it's ridiculous. And I can see what he's doing. And this is the tack he's going to take in the reunion. And I'm not saying that it is entirely untrue that Lindsay isn't a bit controlling and she wants things a certain way. But this stuff is bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I understand her wanting him to have employment. And I feel like just have the conversation, Carl. And then, if it blows up in your face, fine. Then you have something to complain about. But yeah, you haven't even had the conversation.
But it doesn't blow up in his face, does it? Does it? It just doesn't.
It just doesn't. So we'll get to that very soon after we watch this ridiculous alien party. I don't know.
It's a right old load of fluff, this, isn't it?
Okay, Wes in an alien suit scaring and Paige and Amanda. While they're spilling the tea about the sex conversation by the pool. What we really get out of this, I'll just sum it up, is Sierra says basically to her girlfriends, like, I'm sorry, sex is a big deal to me. To some people it's not, to me it is. And I'm not just going to jump into bed with me if they can't even tell me how they feel in words. Like, there are people that are way more comfortable with the physical and less comfortable with the emotional. And she's like, I'm the reverse. Like, I need the emotional before I can feel comfortable with the physical. So she says, nobody's entitled to my body. I'm going to do it when I'm ready. And I'm not ready. So
totally valid. Deal. And great.
Totally valid.
And I love that she said that. And she says that, like, people are so quick to be intimate and won't talk about their feelings, and it's backwards. And she's like, I'm not hopping into bed with you until you tell me how you feel. And this is exactly the point I was making earlier. Maybe if West had spoke to Sierra about this, then she'd be a bit more comfortable with it all. But okay, she were a great point, well made, Sierra.
Exactly. She just wants to make sure that she's not getting played, and I don't blame her. I did write down, I hate all of the outer space outfits. I hate all of them. I don't like the outer space theme.
I don't like the outer space theme. I don't really know why we need a theme. Why can't we just decorate nicely and let people wear the clothes they want to wear? What does the theme bring? Not sure, but
it's
okay.
Because
it brings child's birthday party is what it brings.
It brings Kyle Cook needed to make a dramatic interpretation of being like body snatched by aliens. That thing of Kyle and that beam of light, ick. It was an ick. He was just like, oh. I'm like, dude, you're a 41-year-old man. I say this every episode. I'm also 41, so I'm not age shaming. I'm just saying that I don't think that's normal.
It is an ick.
It's an ick. Stop acting like so dramatic in a beam of fake alien lights. We even know it wasn't a real UFO, okay? We know it. So, okay. And then we got Balloon Man. Danielle beelines for this balloon
man. She practically rugby tackles him to the ground.
Right, exactly. She's like, low tackle, balloon man. And she tackles him and her tinfoil hat. So sexy. Meanwhile, though, Gabby's just like, excuse me, I can't meet a man when I'm sweaty and like decorating for a party. Danielle does not care.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy the way Danielle goes in. On
it's
this
giving
guy.
Sad.
Yeah, and so we get into the party and Derek, who is Sierra's manager and clearly a friend, wants to know West's intentions, and he says that they're pure, and Danielle is just all over this balloon guy. And what we get is we get Paige, Gabby and Amanda all chatting, and Lindsay comes over and they're saying, oh, Danielle swooped in on balloon guy. And Lindsay, I thought this was interesting. Lindsay's like, right, okay, well, you go and swoop in. Come on, I'm taking you to swoop in on him. Come on, let's go.
This is exactly what they do on The Bachelor. Like, Balloon Man is The Bachelor. And they're on a two-on-one date. And it's Gabby and... Okay, Gabby and what's her name?
Danielle.
Sorry, I forgot who she was. They're fighting over The Bachelor / Balloon Man. Do you think Balloon Man is hot? Let's talk about that.
Not really, no. I mean, he's not horrendous or anything, but no, like, no, fine.
I think he's one of those guys that looks super hot from kind of far away. Like, he's hot from far. And
he's a full-on Monet.
He's a Monet, like, from far away. Like,
he's
great.
A full-on Monet.
It's a big old mess. little Clueless reference. But, and then when he starts talking, he got less hot. Like, if he didn't talk, he would have stayed hotter. But then I
maybe
like
that's him. What I was thinking. Yeah, because he's a bit like he's. Posby can be fair. He knows he's on camera. He does ham it up a bit, doesn't he? It's a bit like him and Danielle are all right together, but because they're both slightly mortifying. But what Gabby says is, and I totally forgot all about this. Gabby is like, I am not getting into a me versus Danielle again. We've been there before. It's not happening. I'm not doing it. But she does go over and talk to Balloon Guy and offers him a shot.
I forgot about that too. And look, I don't know if you can see my notes, but you don't need to try to read this, but I wrote it in all capitals, which I don't do very often. I forgot they dated the same dude. So yeah, I don't blame Gabby for not wanting to be like fighting over a balloon man to Danielle.
Yeah. I just think if it were me, if Danielle wants him that bad, she can have him. Like, do you know what I mean? Whatever.
I know. Is that how you like hit on somebody that like, I don't even know if it's these days or any days. I haven't hit on somebody. You offer them a shot. Is that
maybe?
That's what you do.
Is that what the youngins are doing?
Youngins, please. If we have any youngins listening or people out there in the dating world, let us know. Is that how you make a move? You offer them a shot. Is that easy?
To be honest, it seems like it'd work, right? Because you can do a cheers and you can knock it back and you can go ugh, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a firm foundation for a good lifelong partnership. Okay. After this, you know, smooth operator offering
him
a shot.
We get two interesting conversations. Do you want to do Paige and Amanda?
I'll do these.
Oh, Paige isn't happy.
Oh, yeah. Paige is like, yay! She waits. Shit, woo, woo, woo. I'm doing the Arsenio Hall arm, like, whoopee thing to, like, make... to like amp up Paige. I'm hyping her up. Paige is talking to Amanda and she's just telling Amanda about Danielle's really bad behavior from last night at the bar. And Paige says, Okay, on paper, Danielle has no job and no boyfriend. So why is she telling me what to do?
And I can't say I love that. You've got no job and no boyfriend. So why are you telling me what to do? You're a virgin who can't drive. Because that
so much clueless. This episode is sponsored by Clueless.
It would have been better if Paige had said, I am not sure Danielle is the best person on earth to be doling out relationship advice.
Right. It did sound kind of mean.
But she's fucked off and she's not because she's pissed off is why she said it.
Yeah, she's pissed off.
She's putting Danielle in her place.
Well, and she did say like on paper, which means like you might be okay in real life, but on paper you don't sound great. And she's right. She's like, Danielle is not going to pick apart Carl and Lindsay again because of how badly it went down last summer. So she's looking around who she going to pick on, and she zeroes in on Paige. So now, though, Paige and Amanda, who last summer really embraced Danielle, they were on the same side on the reunion. Now they're like,
oh, yeah.
They're like, we kind of see what Lindsay was putting up with. Like, she might be kind of a psycho. Or what's the word they use? They're like, yeah, Danielle's nutty. And she is kind of nutty. So, yeah, now they're like, maybe it really was a lot to have this rando all up in your relationship. And then I got a flashback because I forget things. Remember how nutty Danielle was about that engagement last summer? And she made the whole engagement party about her.
And she took it up a notch on Winterhouse as well. Yeah, it was mortifying to watch that engagement party. But yeah, what Amanda says is that Danielle's really, really passionate about her own opinion. And it's like, it's the only opinion that matters. And Paige is like, yeah, we need to go, we're going to call Lindsay to tell her to take her friend back. We don't want her anymore.
It's kind of mean, but she's mad.
I'd be mad, I think, if I was Paige. I'd be like, who on earth are you to be commenting on this?
Danielle thinks she's like a life coach, but she's just a very unqualified, rude life coach. So,
but she's overstepped significantly here, I think.
And I'm excited to see where this goes with Paige and Danielle. That'll be good.
I loved the end bit where they're like, maybe we can see where Lindsay's coming from. Lindsay's getting a lot of love from these two this season, isn't she? Interesting.
I know.
So we've got Carl and Lindsay sitting down together to chat. So there's some party stuff. And he finally tells her about Loverboy. And he says, like, I want to understand more about it, but I did need a break. And she's like, yeah, well, it was almost like a breakup. But after eventually you have to like get up and move and like get over it and move on. And he's like, well, you know, I just want to be able to, the thing about it is, I know how he's positioning himself as the victim of Lindsay, but he is also so non-committal and vague, and he uses all of this language that feels like it might mean something and it doesn't mean anything. Like, I want to pursue and look at things while I can. What does that even mean, Carl? And Lindsay's like, listen, you said, and bearing in mind that Carl hasn't worked for a year now, and Lindsay, I know he'll have like other money coming in from things, but Lindsay has all but been supporting this relationship, right? And she says, you know, you said you'd have a plan by the end of the summer. We're 3 weeks away from that, and I don't want to bug you about it. And he's like, well, you know, I do think about it. It's not how I want to be. And she's like, but what turns me on is my man out there crushing life. And he's like, well, you don't think I am? And she's like, no, I don't.
Yeah, I'm usually not a Lindsay. Like, I'll usually not be on Lindsay's side always, but she's totally reasonable here. She's calm, even though she's clearly been drinking. She's pretty nice about it. And she's just like, could you just...
Well, I think it's really valid reasons as to why she feels the way she feels. So, like, first off, she likes people. I mean, and I think that a lot of people are like that. Like, I think I would feel like if my husband wasn't out there doing loads of stuff, not loads of stuff, but if he wasn't out there doing stuff and I was the main breadwinner, I'd feel a bit frustrated and annoyed. And I think many people would feel that way, like from both sides, whether it's like a woman supporting a man or a man supporting a woman. Like, she supported him to leave Loverboy, right? And he's like, I'm just not going to do anything for a year. That's, and I know that we could go, yeah, I know, but he's on this journey and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, she's been supporting him on this journey from a very long time, from what I can see, right? So she says, walking into a marriage and having contractually binding assets, and if I have kids and like, and I am home raising them, and you know, they're going to need me, I need to know that I have a partner doing it all to bring in money. I need that security.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I agree with that as well. And he's like, well, if you want me to get a job, I'll get a job. And it's like, right, well, if you could do that, maybe do that, like in the short term, Carl. And she's like, well, even if it means moving on and going on with Loverboy again. So Lindsay is fine with this Loverboy stuff. After Carl, I haven't told Lindsay. Lindsay will just ask so many questions. Oh, Lindsay is like, yeah, fine.
Do something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she kind of disproved that theory. So I'm going to give it to Lindsay here.
Yeah. And she's like, I just want you making money for our family. And what he says to us is, like, I know she wants the best for me. And it's scary for her to have a partner who doesn't have it together. But it's scary to have a partner who doesn't believe in you. And I was like, oh, Carl, that's not what she's saying.
That sounds a little wishy-washy. Like, how long is she supposed to just believe in this like nebulous idea? You know what I mean? That he's not really being clear. Like you said, he's not saying what he's looking for. Like, what if he just keeps looking forever?
I think that this is Carl's way of the big bad Lindsay. And this is what she's doing. And while I don't think Lindsay is a straightforward person, I don't think she didn't say that she doesn't believe in him. She's saying, I do need you to make some money so that we have some security in our lifestyle. And I don't think that's unreasonable. That's not the two, belief in someone and saying, please, will you get a job, are two very different things.
Yes. I'm going to give an amazing quote that I heard last night on Watch What Happens Live. It sounds like I was about to quote like Thoreau. I'm going to quote the very handsome Tyler Cameron, because last night Andy Cohen asked Sierra and Tyler like about this scene, and they're like, you know, what do you think about that scene with Lindsay and Carl, and you know, do you think Lindsay was in the right or in the wrong? And Sierra was like, yeah, no, I think she has a point. And Tyler Cameron, who's not even part of Bravo, he had watched the episode. He's like, yeah, I mean, I would say at Carl's age, at least for our age bracket, which he's like the same age, he's like, I'd say at our age bracket, a job is appropriate. Yes, I would say employment is appropriate. And I was like, that's a good point. Employment is appropriate.
What we can see is that Lindsay has supported Carl to go on the journey he needs to go on for a very long time. He's been out of Loverboy for over a year at this point.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had. And again, I'm sure he's probably making money from other little bits and bobs. But Lindsay is saying, what I love to see is you crushing it. And that's what turns me on. And that's all I'm telling you.
Yeah. And I think here's the thing is like, for somebody like me, I can look at it and be like, well, heck, I mean, just to be on Summer House, yeah, you're going to pull in six figures. That's not a bad job. However, I think most people that are on a show like one of these Bravo shows, they almost all, that's not their only job, because you're given so much opportunity by being in the spotlight that like, you don't only need to work for 6 weeks or however long they film, right? Whatever, maybe 12 weeks a year. Like almost everybody else parlays that into something that's going to be even more lucrative, because Summer House is not going to be forever. And if you're actually going to marry somebody, yeah, you have to know that you're not going to be Summer House stars forever. I mean, we're on season 9. Come on.
Exactly. So. And maybe that's what Lindsay actually, in all of it, maybe that's what Lindsay's worried about. Like, we've probably only got another year or so left on this show, dude. Like, when we get married and I have, and maybe that's what she's getting at when she's talking about the having a baby and things like that. Yeah. She ain't going to be on Summer House when she has a child. That will be the end of it. And because who can have a baby and party in the Hamptons every weekend for like 6 or 7 weeks? The two things don't go. So I wonder whether that's the implication within all of that, that she's saying, once we have children, you have to have a job.
Right. And what better time to actually go get a job when you're at least still out there in the spotlight? You're still in your 15 minutes, if you want to call it that, of fame. It's been longer than that. But like, once that dries up, it's going to be a lot harder to even get a job when you're like, oh, I used to be on Summer. At least now he's in the news and like he's out there. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting conversation.
It was, and I just think this big bad Lindsay, isn't she so awful to me? She doesn't believe in me. Look at her trying to make me get a job. No, I think Lindsay's in the right here, and I think that Carl is setting up his narrative. So as I say, like, I do think Lindsay's done something wrong. Don't get things wrong. Don't get me wrong. We've watched her call him Cocaine Carl. That's right. A massively unforgivable thing. And also, they don't like each other. But you know, this isn't working for me, Carl. I just need you to know.
Yep, you've been put on notice, Carl. And also, I want Carl on notice that he needs a bigger size in those powder blue shorts. Okay, I think that's it.
Okay, that's everything then, everyone. Those are our final thoughts.
We've covered it all.
We've covered it all. So we will see you next week for episode 10. Are they taking a season? Because so is it only around like the winter and Christmas times they take a break? Because I feel like we had a couple of breaks with Southern Charm. They're not having
any
breaks.
No, we're not taking breaks. No, we are powering through. It's summer.
No, not us. Them. They, Bravo, often have like a week.
No, they're not taking a break. They're just going to go. They're just going to go.
It's fine. I mean, I'm not mad about it. I was just wondering. Right. So you will see us next week for episode 10 of Summer House. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. Cheeky 5-star review wherever you listen. If you haven't left us one, it really helps. We're on Instagram. We're on the email. We're on the TikTok. We're all over the place, guys. We will see you very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.